Good evening and welcome to the BBS Talk Radio Show for a Beautiful You, where we will celebrate the success of men and women presented to you by the award-winning Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauty's National Pageant. Now here's your host, Our Lady Di.
Welcome to BBS Talk Radio for a Beautiful You. Before we introduce our very special guest tonight, let's turn back the clock to 1969. Okay, for a lot of you listeners, you may have not been born in 1969, but I'm sure you heard of the things that I'm going to mention that happened in 1969. We had Apollo 11 lands on the moon. Midnight Cowboy wins Best Picture. Did you hear about Woodstock? Cigarette warning on TV commercials. Sesame Street premieres, believe it or not, that year in 1969. John Lennon marries Yoko Ono. And Sugar Sugar is the number one song of the year. Is none other than the multi-talented Ron Dante. How are you tonight, Ron?
Just fine. Thank you for having me.
Now, do you remember hearing Sugar Sugar?
Yes. Say again.
Now, does Sugar Sugar, do you ever get tired of hearing that song?
Never, never. It was one of my favorite of all time. I'm very happy that I got to sing it.
And we're happy you did, too, because it sure soared you into the entertainment industry. I mean, you're one star in the entertainment business that doesn't need a press agent to hype your accomplishments. You have a room full of platinum albums, Grammys, Chloe's, Tony Awards, Just phenomenal, phenomenal career that you've had. Tell us how you got started.
Well, I was very lucky. I was born in the New York City area, and there was a place called the Brill Building that I could visit as a teenager and audition my songs and try to get my voice heard. And I just went up there when I was a teenager and visited the song publishers and and I finally got somebody to sign me as actually a demo singer, singing demos for a man named Don Kirshner, who gave me my first job. He was the man behind the Monkees and Kirshner's rock concert in the 70s. So beside that, I would work on weekends with a group. I would play clubs and things, and that's really where I got started.
Now, how did Sugar Sugar with the Archies come about?
Well, it was done for a TV show called The Archies Funhouse, and it was meant to be for children, actually, for kids. It was a cartoon show every Saturday morning, and they needed music for it. And Don Kirshner came up with the idea to put a group together to sing all the songs that would be on the show each week, a new song each week and a new dance. So I heard about he was auditioning for singers, and I called him, Mr. Kirshner, and I said, I'd like to audition for the group. And I went up there, and I got the job.
Now, wasn't that about the time Tommy Roe was singing Sweet Pea? I mean, we're going way back. I mean, a lot of our listeners are probably in the younger generation, which, by the way, you have a new generation of listeners now and fans for the Archies.
Yes, we're fortunate that the people who loved originally now have brought their children to the shows, and oldie stations around the country play Sugar Sugar two or three times a day. So you hear Sugar Sugar and the Archies records in commercials, movies, and TV, plus radio. So we're part of the American landscape. People grow up to this music, and I was very fortunate to be a part of a golden era of songwriting and of singing.
But see, a lot of people, whether they're singers or actors or actresses, get stereotyped by one specific thing. But not you, Ron, because you're best known for your work as a producer as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, as a singer, I always wanted to produce my own records because I always saw things in the records that I thought I could make better. So I studied under the best producers in New York City. I watched the best engineers and musicians work, and I learned my craft. And I decided to become more of a producer in the 70s. After the 60s, I did a lot of vocals and singing for other groups. And I was lucky enough to come across some very, very top talent. One was a guy named Barry Manilow, who I ended up producing for 10 years. I produced everything from Mandy to I Write the Song to the Copacabana. So my production credits are pretty extensive. I was very lucky that once I started to produce Barry Manilow, a lot of other major stars came to me and wanted me to produce them, including Cher and Pat Benatar and Don Denver and Ray Charles, a whole bunch of people I ended up producing for a while.
Yeah, including Cher, Dionne Warwick, John Denver, like you said, Irina Cara. I mean, major recording artist. So that says a lot for you as a producer, writer, singer. I mean, you were the driving force behind Barry Manilow's greatest successes. Tell us about that.
Well, I met Barry singing a commercial. I was a commercial singer at one point where I sang commercials for a living. And on this session, I met this fellow named Barry Manilow, who was just starting out in his career. And he asked me to listen to some of his songs. And I listened to some of his songs, and he played me a song called Could It Be Magic? And it ended up being one of the first things we recorded for his career and for his sessions. And that's the way we went into the studio. I saw that he had great, great talent, and he was a wonderful singer, songwriter, arranger. So we started a production firm together that went on for 10 years.
And you're still right now producing with him in Las Vegas, aren't you?
Yes, I'm working with him on his new 80s album, all 80s tunes, and I worked with him on his 60s and 70s album, and I'm helping him do his show in Las Vegas, putting voices together for his show in Las Vegas. He'll be at the Hilton for the next year or so. He's been there 2 or 3 years already, but the Hilton in Las Vegas is his show, and the fans come and support him beautifully.
But you yourself, you're still traveling and doing concerts, aren't you?
Yes, well, I like to get out and see the public and the fans of the Archies and my different group. So I go out once or twice a month and do a summer fair or a big oldie show. I just love it. I get out to perform a lot, and it's great to meet the fans in person. They bring me around their record. They bring their records to be so signed, and they want to take pictures with me, and it's a really big kick. I love to do it.
You know, I'm going to brag on you because you're not bragging about yourself, but I'm going to do it for you. Do you know that Ron Dante produced LPs which sold more than 60 million copies, accounting for more than $350 million in retail sales at record stores nationwide? That's an accomplishment. I bet you sit back and think sometimes, I can't believe I did that.
Well, you know, it was all about the work when I was doing it and the enjoyment of doing the work. God gave me a gift to be able to make music and sing and write and produce, and I've been given the opportunity to do it all through my career. So I never think about the numbers as much as the songs that have come through me and are part of my legacy. Those are the most important things because they remain important in people's lives, all through their lives. A song like Mandy or Copacabana or I Write the Songs or even Sugar Sugar, of great meaning to people. It's keynote in their life that they remember forever. And every time they hear those songs, it brings them back to that moment in their lives. So the important thing is never the numbers, although I'm very proud that the records I've produced have made and sold an incredible amount of records and CDs, but it's always the work that's important to me.
You know, Sugar Sugar is such a feel-good song. I mean, it you feel like holding your boyfriend's hand and skipping, which is what we did when we heard it back then. And it's surprising to me because I'm interviewing you today because back then I played your 45, which a lot of people don't know what 45s are today, but their 45 record until it warped. I mean, because I loved the song so much, and as I grew up into my teens and had children, that song was still playing in my house, and here I'm interviewing you, so it's really amazing to me. I'm just so honored to be speaking with you right now. Your song,
thank you.
Your song hit the top 40 charts for weeks and was voted Song of the Year in 1969. Which was an era dominated by the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. That is a phenomena. How could you explain that?
Well, you know, during those years, there were the war years, Vietnam War years. There was pressure. There was all kinds of upheavals going out in the late 60s, especially 1969. And I think people wanted a feel-good record. They didn't want to be too serious about their music. And Sugar Sugar fit that mold. It was perfect for dancing. It had a great sound to it, so people enjoyed doing it.
And yes. Your voice has been very distinctive in dozens of radio and TV commercials. In fact, the TV commercial you did was one for McDonald's. Is that correct?
Yes. I worked for McDonald's many years. I did all their You Deserve a Break Today campaigns. I was the voice on their TV and radio spots. And literally, I did thousands of commercials in my commercial career. I was the voice of almost every product. I sang on Budweiser. You name the product, I sang on it.
In dozens of radio and TV commercials, besides spots for Coca-Cola, American Airlines, Budweiser, and a thousand of other well-known products, and that is amazing. Plus, theater goers also know you for your work on Broadway. You produced Ain't Misbehavin', which earned a Tony Award for Best Musical for yourself. That is phenomenal. How did you get into Broadway?
Well, you know, the recording studios in New York are also situated around the theaters in that general area. So I always wanted to do something on Broadway. So when I started becoming successful in the music business, I had some friends who were involved in Broadway shows. And one was a man named James Lipton, who's got a TV show now. James Lipton's interview show. And he asked me to go down and see a show called Ain't Misbehavin'. And he said, we could invest in this with the Schuberts. And I said, okay, I went to see it, and I just loved the show. Had Nick Carter in it before she became a star. And I became a producer that day, and I ended up doing maybe 20 shows over the next 5 years. And, of course, Children of a Lesser God was one of my shows also. It won the Tony for Best Drama, and Ain't Misbehavin' won the Tony for Best Musical. And I was very proud to be associated with Jim Lipton and the Schuberts at that time.
And you've associated yourself with very well-known musical stars such as the Hermit Hermits and Tommy Rowe, Gary Lewis, Bobby V. I mean, just a phenomenal group of people. And do you still see the individuals that you've been performing with for years or worked with?
Yes, I'm fortunate that the people I started out in business with are still performing, and I see them on a regular basis. Every few months we'll show together, and Gary Lewis or Bobby V or Tommy Rowe, and they're all singing better than ever, and people like Tommy James and Peter Noon, of course, of Herman's Hermits. I started out with him as a teenager. I see them on a regular basis, and they're all just happy as they can be to be out there performing for the fans.
You know, you were categorized as a teenage heartthrob back in the day when they used that word. I don't even know if they use that word anymore. I don't follow the magazines like you used to, like 16. Remember 16? I'm sure your picture was on the cover a lot then. What makes a teenage heartthrob different now than the day when you were a teenage heartthrob?
Well, you know, I don't think there's any difference. I think there's a group called the Jonas Brothers, Hannah Montana. There are people, there are artists out there who fit the bill and are still teenage favorites. And, you know, that part of it has never changed all through the decades. New Kids on the Block did. Hanson, the group Hanson, was the same cut from the same cloth. There will always be very young artists that the teenage girls just love to see and love and fantasize about. So I think that it's a never-ending story.
Yeah, but I think the difference was when us girls used to listen to your music as well as the Monkees and others, we used to take your pictures out of 16 Magazine and cover our wall like wallpaper. I don't think they do that anymore. But the fans back then and the young girls really loved their heartthrobs, I think, a lot differently than they do now. Let me ask you, how you have a new legion of fans right now. I mean, their mothers were fans of Archie, you know, and Sugar Sugar back then. How did you draw in a new legion of fans? Do you think it was from the parents, or do you think it's your music that just carries on through the decades?
I think it's a combination of both. Family playing the music in the house and the kids growing up to it, but they're exposed to it on a regular basis. It's on, you know, Sugar Sugar in particular has been used for commercials for Applebee's. It's been in TV shows like The Simpsons. So a whole new generation. There was a movie called B Movie about Jerry Seinfeld's B Movie that came out about 6 months ago that featured Sugar Sugar. A whole new generation got to hear it. So I'm very, very fortunate that people are getting exposed to the music I made, and probably will, and hopefully will look for the new stuff I do.
Now, I remember when the Archies was a comic book when I was younger. There'd be Archie and Jughead, Betty and Veronica. Is that basically how you started the name from the comic book?
Yes, the group was taken from the comic book characters, and the TV show was done in association with Archie Comics. Don Kirshner got involved in the music end of it and brought in all the producers and the singers such as myself. But it all came out of the comic books, and the comic books are still very, very popular. They sell 1 million a month of Archie comic books and Betty and Veronica. So there's still a market for that, and hopefully the new album I just completed will be a big hit for them.
Let's talk about your new album.
Well, I'm so excited about it. It's the very first Archie's album that's been made in the last 35 years. But it's all keyed off the characters Betty and Veronica and the band. It'll be the Archie's Christmas album featuring Betty and Veronica. It's out in 2 weeks. And it's going to be available all over the place come Christmas time. And I've made a deal with the Archie comic book people to let me use the name The Archies. And the Archies have never grown up. They're all 17 years old still. So we're hoping for the High School Musical audience to pick up on the Archies now.
And where can our listeners purchase the CD?
They're online. They can buy it at Amazon.com, which is already listed, a place called iTunes. iTunes, the Apple's iTunes site, is the biggest record store in the world. They'll also be able to buy it at Best Buy and Walmart. It'll be available in those stores in a few weeks.
That is so wonderful. I am so glad that you're still on the musical scene and you're still here with us. And, you know, I'm so excited that you're on the show tonight. It's just thrilling for me to be interviewing you. And we're going to be back with Ron Dante after this commercial.
Thank you.
Have you ever wanted to compete in a pageant system that focuses in on your self-esteem and positive attributes? Have you accomplished something successful in your life and want to tell the world? Then you've come to the right place. The award-winning Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauties pageant is looking for you. The national pageant will take place next July 2009 in Illinois, where women from all over the United States will vie for the coveted title. For more information, please visit the website at usbeautiespageant.com. The Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauties National Pageant, celebrating the success of the modern woman. We are looking for corporate and business sponsors for the award-winning Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauties National Pageant. Premium sponsor packages are available for those who would like to sponsor a beautiful pageant system that celebrates the success of the modern woman. For more information, please visit the Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauties National Pageant website at www.usbeautiespageant.com.
Welcome back to BBS Talk Radio for a Beautiful You. Ron Dante from the Archies was with us for our half-hour segment. Unfortunately, Ron had an emergency with one of his Dalmatians. He had to rush him to the animal clinic, so Ron had to leave us. So I'm going to be speaking with you a little bit about my take on music and where it was from the 60s, 70s, and 80s up to now. With Ron, he had a wonderful song called Sugar Sugar by the Archies, which brought a lot of visibility to him. I was going to speak with Ron about up-and-coming singers and songwriters and what it takes for them to make it in the business today. I think it takes a lot of perseverance and a lot of energy and talent, you know, to get your name out there, and I believe that's what happened with Ron, with his music, and I think when he persevered and kept going, it took that break, besides his talent, took that break to get him to where, you know, he had to go in his life. And I think that's with anything in life, what we do, we need to work hard at it and try to reach that goal, you know, like Ron and other singers that have met their goals in their life. I know that we have the Miss and Mrs. U.S. Beauties National Pageant, and I know my contestants are listening, and I do have to tell you girls that you are by far the best group of girls that we have had. Your dedication, commitment to your title, and the time that you take has really astounded me. I am very proud of all of you and the hard work and dedication, which, again, takes to want to do something. You know, it takes that perseverance. And even though the pageant's in July, the girls are preparing with consultants and getting ready, working with trainers, coaches, makeup artists, wardrobe consultants, and people that will help them to meet their goal. Like anything in life, I was going to discuss this with Ron, is when you start out, it always reminds me of Dorothy that starts out with the yellow brick road. I know when all the little munchkins was waving goodbye to her, she left with her little dog, and along the way she met people who grabbed her by the hand and said, you know what, we have enough faith and confidence in you that we're going to take this ride with you. And she always had it in her to go back home. You know, she did not have to see the wizard. She had it in her to go back home. She just didn't know she had it because she didn't believe in herself. And when you believe in yourself, you could be a successful individual in life. All it takes is that positive attitude and positive motivation to get you going in life, no matter what it is. And so it's like anything, following the yellow brick road to where you want to go in life. And it just takes that confidence in oneself. And I always tell my girls, you know, believe in yourself and believe in who you are. And anybody in life can make it. I know that I've got a good friend named Gina James, who is a Nashville recording artist who had gone through some things with health problems and things, but she is persevering and going forward. And we do have a caller on the line. Hi, caller.
Oh, my gosh, how astounding. This is Gina.
Hello there. How are you?
I am in awe. I want to be where he's at. I want to get his autograph.
You know something? He had to leave. There was an emergency with his Dalmatian, so he had to go. So being animal lovers that we are, we really, truly understand. I hope we get to have him on the show. I had a million questions I had to ask him. But you know what? You're a singer and a songwriter, so you can relate to Ron in a way.
Big
you can relate
time.
To him.
I was just listening, and what you said as far as perseverance, and I mean, you don't take no. You may have 1,000 no's. But there's that one yes, and that one yes can change your whole life. I'm sorry?
It just takes patience. It takes patience. I know myself, I go, you know, when is that big break going to come? You know, my girls have been waiting a long time to hit, to be on television with the national pageant, and I think this year, upcoming year, is going to be it. Got my fingers crossed. Got some, you know, people, you know, on our side. They're pushing for us. But, you know, things just don't happen overnight, you know?
No, but I think next year is going to be a phenomenal season for you.
Well, you know, I'm going to have you on the show in a couple weeks because you know that we have you as our special guest on the third week of.
Yeah, we're going to have my the studio, the guy who owns the studio that I'm recording at. Is going to be on with us, and Jereen, that Mason, who is the writer of the book on mine and Porter's life together, Porter Wagoner, and the producer,
question that I was going to ask Ron, because, you know, you're a singer and a songwriter, just like Ron is. I was going to ask Ron, for new up-and-coming singers and songwriters, what does it take for them to get out there and become well-known? What advice would you give to them?
The first thing I would say is nobody's going to come and find you. You got to go find them. You understand? They're not going to knock on your door with a record deal. You've got to get to whatever venue of music you are. Mine happens to be country. So I had to go to Nashville. And that's where Porter saw me singing. And so therefore, that had I not been in Nashville, God knows nothing would have happened. My advice would be, if you've got a dream and you've got the talent behind the dream, you go where your music is made and is hot. You know what I'm saying?
You know, it's a real tribute to Ron, though, Gina, because, I mean, Sugar Sugar came out in 1968, and that was 40 years ago, and here he is. He's 18 years old, and he's still here with us all, still producing. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and to think that I was seeing posters of my mother's of his on my walls as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Where, I mean, she was crazy over him. And you talk about Tiger Beat and Teen Beat and all that. I mean, she was a grown woman, but she would go get them just to get the free posters. You know, in the middle of the book, there would be a poster that would fold out.
Yes.
You know what I'm... Yeah.
You pull it out and you hang it on the wall with scotch tape, remember?
Absolutely.
That's what I'm talking around about. I don't think they do that anymore like they did back then.
I don't know. My daughters do.
They do. Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, whoever they're crazy over, I have to raise Cain because they was always, but they didn't use the tape like we did. They would use tacks or whatever and put holes in the wall everywhere. And it was wallpapered and whoever the latest hunk was.
I think I was afraid of getting a licking on my butt, so I did the tape thing instead of the tack thing.
Well, I think we had more respect, too, for our family's home.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the monkeys used to be on my wall. Herman Hermits, Paul Revere and the Raiders, which I wanted to talk a little bit about the groups back then, you know, how he felt, you know, singing at the same time they did, because we're going 40 years back and music has changed a lot in 40 years. Like I was telling Ron, when Sugar Sugar came on, you wanted to hold your boyfriend's hand and talk scotch along the sidewalk. You know, it was that feel-good song. Now that we're hearing music that's swearing and, you know, putting women down and, ugh, no use for it.
Anything that's derogatory in music, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I have no taste for that music. I think a feel good song that makes you tap your toes or want to hold your boyfriend's hand and all that, make you feel young again. You know, and a song will take you back in time quicker than anything will.
Oh, yeah, like a time capsule.
Absolutely.
And
I mean, a song can come on, and I can tell you where I was at, who I was dating, you know, everything. But when I heard Sugar Sugar and the Dave, when he was talking, all I could think about was my mother. And then when you said Tiger Beat, Teen Beat, because they were, you know, two big magazines, and still are. But anyway,
showing our age. We're showing our age. Tiger Beat 60, but I think they're still around.
It is. That's what I just said. My daughters buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And that I don't know. I just think it should be a feel good thing. I don't think you should put nobody down. I don't know why they do it. I don't know why. I can't say just to anything because
Back then, Gina, that music was called bubblegum music. You had the Ohio Players, which I was going to talk to Ron about. At the same time, his music was being played. 1910 Fruit Gum Company. I mean, these were all groups back at the time when Ron was singing, which was what at that time was called bubblegum music. And so I'm going to ask you this that I was going to ask Ron. What makes this music different than today, and how do you think we'll ever get back to that era of Sugar Sugar?
Sadly. Well, first of all, I think we'll never forget it because, like he said, it's been used in how many movies? I don't know, and soundtracks and commercials. But we'll never, ever have the great, to me, and you know, I'm a whole different generation, but to me, I would a lot rather hear 50s and 60s music than I would today's. Sadly, I don't think we'll ever get back to it because I think we've dropped the ball, and our kids today want to hear all this negativity, and I wish it weren't that way, but that's what sells, and what sells is what, you know, the record companies are going to want to record.
Now, you do country western music, which is a different realm of music than Ron does, you know, with his music.
Right.
That basically has never changed over the years, has it?
Oh, my gosh. It's done so many changes. The Eagles was considered rock. The Eagles today would be country. Don Henley, the drummer for the Eagles, is country. I mean, he's recorded several country songs. Yeah, it really has changed, Di. You'd be amazed. It's no longer crying my beer, my dog got run over, and my wife left me, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Today, it's much rich. Today, it is what the Eagles sound was back in the 70s, if that makes any sense.
No, you know, I'm glad that you came online because, you know, I was going to talk to Ron about the music styles and how they've changed and evolved over the years. But
Right. Nothing
brings me back. I say I'm an oldies girl, and we do have oldies music stations on the radio still. And nothing brings me back more to the time when I was younger than listening to the music from the past. I stopped buying records in the 90s when the music really changed. I was a 70 and 80
right.
girl. You know, I liked the 80s music. I really did. The British Explosion, Culture Club, Toto. I mean, I liked all the groups in the 80s, and I liked the groups in the 70s. But it seems like we can't get back to that music anymore. You know, bands. The bands aren't even playing anymore. It's more singing
and it's
dancing
bad.
On stage.
They can't get a record deal because that's not what's selling. And it's sad because, I mean, they're the ones who paved the road for my generation of, you know, artists that are performing now. And they can't even get a record deal? You know, that's a shame.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's ever going to change. I don't know if we can ever bring back that music. And you know what? I don't know if it would be acceptable because people in their 20s and 30s, you play that music, they shut it off right away.
Absolutely, but I'll tell you something. When I was 28, I was listening to my husband was a few years older than me, let's just put it that way. And I was listening, when we got in the car, we listened to the oldie station. But see, I was so familiar with it because of my daddy, you know. And I love it because they told stories about, you know, it wasn't like the screaming stuff and stuff you hear today. Back then, the lyrics were very important, where today the lyrics aren't as important now in country it still is, but in most other genres of music, it's not the lyrics, it's the music they want. You know, the beat. But I want to hear a story. I want to hear a love song. I want to hear, you know, whatever. I want to hear a story. And they told some beautiful stories. My Boyfriend's Back and You're Gonna Be Sorry. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Lipstick on Your Collar.
Yeah.
Connie Stevens.
Yeah, and it was story.
Connie Francis.
Yeah, but they were telling stories. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Paula? Remember Hey, Paula?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going way back, though, because you weren't even born yet. But you probably heard
But, honey, I listened to all the music because, you know, I was a daddy's girl, period. And that's what we listened to. And then, like I said, you know, when I got married, it was... I'm divorced now, but it was, you know, oldies station all the time, and I knew every song that would come on because of my early, early childhood, you know. And they were precious memories to hear one come on. It will take you back like nothing else, like we said earlier.
Well, you know, Gina, we're going to break for a commercial, and I hope you stay on and finish the segment with me so we can talk more about music. And we're going to be right back after this commercial.
Have you ever wanted to compete in a pageant system that focuses in on your self-esteem and positive attributes? Have you accomplished something successful in your life and want to tell the world? Then you've come to the right place. The award-winning Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauties pageant is looking for you. The national pageant will take place next July 2009 in Illinois, where women from all over the United States will vie for the coveted title. For more information, please visit the website at usbeautiespageant.com. The Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauties National Pageant, celebrating the success of the modern woman. We are looking for corporate and business sponsors for the award-winning Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauties National Pageant. Premium sponsor packages are available for those who would like to sponsor a beautiful pageant system that celebrates the success of the modern woman. For more information, please visit the Miss Mrs. U.S. Beauties National Pageant website at www.usbeautiespageant.com.
And we're back with Nashville recording star Gina James. Gina, you've got a lot of things that are happening in your life. Before we go back to music, I'm going to brag on you a little bit, or have you brag about yourself. Why don't you tell our listeners what you've got coming up in the future?
Too much. How's that? We're getting ready to record in the largest studio in America. Was just built. It happens to be in Texas. So while we're in Texas, I'll be playing at Billy Bob's, which is the largest honky-tonk in the nation, and Gilly's. So I'll hit both those, then fly into Nashville from Dallas, and we're going to do new food. We're going to do a new photo shoot, and then we're shooting my video.
Gina's going to be shooting a video. We don't want to talk
Gina's
about too
scared.
Much. No, she's going to be fine. You're going to be great.
I'm nervous.
Now, where is the video going to be shown in case everybody listening wants to see it? Do you have any ideas now, or you don't know yet?
DMT Pure is the name of the channel, and CMT is Country Music Television. CMT and CMT Pure.
All right. And when can we expect that out? Do you have any ideas? We won't hold you to the exact
month. Actually, I have no idea.
Oh,
we've
that's
got
okay.
I'll keep you updated.
Yeah, you can. Well, you can be on the show in 2 weeks. Maybe you'll have more news by then. But yeah, keep us updated because we've got people that are going to follow your career that are interested in what you were doing. What you're doing is seeing you make a comeback because
that's so sweet.
Yeah. Well, Gina's a talented songwriter as well as a singer, and I've listened to some of her music that she's written, and it's phenomenal. So I cannot wait for her first album to come out. We're going to talk about everything in 2 weeks with yourself and Marty and Doreen and the gang. But for now, let's get into the music part of this. Now, you've been recording and singing country music you know, for most of your life. So it's a little bit different style of music than Ron's. But do you think you could cross over and sing that music if you had to?
Say that one more time, love.
Do you think you could cross over and sing the type of music that Ron has sang? Because you've mainly been in country and western. So could you think you could cross over and sing that kind of music?
I would love at one point to be able to cross over, because my biggest hit, which was number 3, was a song called Just Like Jesse James. It was also recorded by Cher, and hers came out 2 weeks before mine, which helped mine dramatically, because everybody thought, hey, I know that song, and, you know, thinking that it was the song that they had heard Cher, I mean, that they were hearing Cher sing it, but actually it was me singing, you know, my hit from it. So I would love to be like Dolly Parton and cross over, absolutely. I love all genres of music, and so yeah, I don't want to be plugged into one, you know. I would much rather be able to do crossover. I mean, we're doing a crossroads. There's a thing on CMT now that's called Crossroads, and what we do is once a week they bring on a rock or a whatever, different kind of musician completely as far as style of music, and they work with a country artist, and they do great shows. Like Kid Rock was on with Hank Jr., Bo Cephas, and several other country artists, and I know Willie Nelson has done one, and I want to do one. You know who I want to do one with really bad, though?
Who? I was going to ask you that. If you can do a duet with someone, who would it be?
Michael Bolton.
Michael Bolton? Why Michael Bolton?
I have loved Michael Bolton since I was probably 13, and I've actually got a newspaper clipping from right after when I won Miss Florida, and it said in there, you know, what are your dreams and aspirations? And at this point, I had never been signed with even an indie, much less a major label. But I said, he said, a Grammy? And I said, a Grammy would be great, but what would mean the most to me is to be able to sing with Michael Bolton. And Trisha Yearwood did one, like I said, was, you know, the drummer from the Eagles. And I would love to do one with Michael Bolton. I love his music. I love his style. I love his, he produces his own. I love his production style. And I don't know, he's got a graspy voice similar to mine. And I think we could do something pretty cool together.
Oh,
I'd love to try.
I think so, too. Because once your music is recorded and comes out, we're going to play it on our show for everybody to hear so they can actually hear you singing. Gina has a very strong, powerful voice. And it just...
Yeah, it's either really, really strong, the sound men love me, or it's gone. I blow out after, if I've got to play 4 nights and I'm playing long sets, I'll blow out. So I have to be real careful with my voice. But yeah, I've got a really strong voice, and my dad was a bass singer, and I was the deepest alto. And when I first got into chorus, which was in middle school, and I led the chorus, and my chorus teacher God bless her. Miss Stevens, if you're listening, I love you, and I thank you for taking a special interest in me, because had you not, I don't know, you know, what I would have, how I would have ended up. But anyway, she took a special interest in me, and, you know, I got the lead in all the plays and all the chorus, you know, assemblies that we did. And then I went on to high school and did the same thing. But Miss Stevens from Catawba Middle School in Catawba, North Carolina, is the one who planted the seed. And I thank her so much, so much.
There's always that special someone that plants that seed for you. Somebody that believes in you and believes in your talents. And, you know, that's nice when somebody believes in you. Do you think that
if you don't have that, you, I don't know how you could do it. I really don't. My dad believed in me so much. He believed in me way more than I did. And I am, you know, I look back at some of the early tapes of me singing, and I think, oh, my gosh, who encouraged me to sing? You know, back then it sounds horrible. And I don't know, you know, what it was, but I'm sure grateful for it.
Yes, because you have a lot of talent and a good career going for you, and a lot of things in the future that we will announce as time goes on after you start finishing your projects.
After we do this session, this recording session, we'll have music for you that you'll get before the radios get.
Okay,
so,
wonderful. Can't
so,
wait.
Yeah, you can you can do with it what you like, but we always get four that, you know, there's four different people we can give one to, and you've been such a dear friend to me. Can I tell a little something? Do we have a few minutes?
Yeah, we do.
Di was kind enough. I've had a lot of loss in my life as far as my loved ones. And was when I first met Di, gosh, Di was at, it was in the winter, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I had just lost Porter Wagoner in my arms. Wow. I had lost my dad on Christmas Day, not long before. 3 months and 3 days later, I lost my grandmother. And then I lost him, and I felt like an orphan. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do with anything in my life. And she has been so kind to me. And today, I was so excited when my doorbell rang and there was a sweet, sweet care package. And in it contained many things. I won't go into all of them. But there's two books on grieving and life after death and heaven. And as soon as we go off the air, I will be, you know, reading those books. I am so thankful to her because she put the spark back where at the time that I met her was gone. I just felt lost. And Di is a super woman. And her accomplishments are unreal. But on top of that, I'm talking about the heart. And Di, I thank you so much.
Oh, well, it's not hard to like you, Gina. I feel the same way about you. You know, you're just a wonderful conversationalist. You're a great friend. We can laugh and talk about anything. So it's been my pleasure.
We've talked about everything too, haven't we?
So you know what? When you're friends with someone, you know, and you share a lot in common, you know, it's always wonderful to be able to share. Women love to share things together, you know, and it's nice to be able to do that.
But I've not had many women to share things with. And, I mean, you know, I was raised by my father, and I had all these brothers, and then I go on the road with a band with 8 guys, and there's not been many women friends that I've been close to. And I've talked to you about things, you know, things about me no one knows.
That's right.
And
we're going to have a show on friendship one day, because to me, friendship is like a marriage. You have to work at it. And, you know, it takes a lot of work, and you have to want to do it. But, Gina, the show is over. I'm so glad that you came on board, because I'm thinking everybody's going to get tired of hearing me for the next half hour ramble on.
No one would ever tire of hearing you, ever. And I love you, and I'm so glad that I got to be on tonight.
Well, we're going to hang on in a couple of weeks with Marty, your producer, and Doreen, who's writing your book, talk about things that are happening in your life. And we're so glad that you have come to listen to the BBS Talk Radio Show for a Beautiful You. I'm sure we'll have Ron Dante, and again, I want to thank him for his half hour that he was with us, and we wish him best with his Dalmatian. And
absolutely.
Yeah, and we'll see you next week on the BBS Talk Radio for Beautiful You. Have a nice evening.